You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
And last week we focused in on this new mission statement that God has placed before us. And it's one that as I talked about last week, for the last year, really, myself and Ashley Henske at the Early Childhood Center and Sarah Grine at the school, we've been praying over, we've been talking about, we've been working with you to see where is God leading us as a ministry. And so a lot of times today you're going to hear me say, well, at Trinity we do this. And if you're a guest with us today or you're not really connected to the ministry of Trinity, just hear when I say at Trinity we, just here as a child of God, I, right? Because there's nothing about this that we're going to talk about today that doesn't fit anyone who has been bought by the blood of the Lamb. I also want to make a note that as I say at Trinity, we, I'm not talking about Pastor Gerber and Pastor Rathke and Casey, our Director of Christian Education. I'm not talking about Pastor Gerber and Ashley and Sarah at the Early Childhood Center in the school and their teachers and their staff. It's not at Trinity we, the staff, but at Trinity we, the people that have been brought together, staff and all of us who get to be a part of God's mission moving forward. And last week, we got to focus on that word, learn. We have to be reminded that our identity is in a God who loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to rise again, to take on our sins, to defeat sin, death, and the devil, that we might live with him for all eternity and that we might live with him today as well. And so we saw that at Trinity, we worship and pray in community. We study God's Word together, and then we live out God's will in our lives. We learn who we are in Jesus. We learn our identity that is placed on us as the Spirit works in us through the hearing of His Word, through the waters of baptism, right? That God makes us His children. We are reminded of that identity, but our identity is not our end goal. My goal in life is not that I would just become a follower of Jesus and then die and go be with Jesus. That's an important thing, but that is not my goal in life. My goal in life is that I know who I am in Jesus and that I get to share that with other people. I get to share that with you. I get to share that in my family. I get to share that with the people around me in the community. And that's not because my title's pastor, but that's because my identity is child of God. And so as your identity also is child of God, your goal in life is not to just become a child of God, die, and go be with Jesus. Your goal in life is also that the kingdom would multiply through you, through the sharing of His good news with others. And this week we get to focus on how we can do that. As we learn our identity in Jesus, we are called to then love those around us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Again, we have to start with what He does for us. Everything that you'll hear today is started by what Jesus has already done for us. Jesus has loved you on the cross. Jesus has loved you in your life. He continues to love you, and as He loves you, then let us love one another. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And then in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, right? The greatest way that God showed His love for you is by sending His Son to be like you. That He was man. That He became man. That He became one of us to do what we were unable to live, to do, to live that perfect life, to love perfectly. so that the world might live, so that you might live through him. But if you were paying attention to the numbers at the top of the screen, I went from 1 John 4, verse 7 to 1 John 4, verse 9. Skipped a verse in there, and it's one that feels, as we read it, it feels a little interesting, a little awkward even. That, yes, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And that's what I mean when I say that my identity cannot just stay with me. I cannot just take on God's love and hold it in for just myself. Because if that love doesn't flow out of me, it means I don't really know this God who has loved me so incredibly. And so at Trinity, we love. We love others because Jesus first loved us. We forgive others freely because Jesus forgives us, and we serve others with joy. So let's look at that first one where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Jesus just said this, and if you opened up to John and you looked at what had happened leading up to this, this is that Last Supper. John's account of the Last Supper, and it starts out by talking about that Jesus knows that Judas is about to betray him. And yet Jesus gets down on his knees, he takes his outer garment off, and he begins to wash all of their feet. Even Judas's feet. And after all of that, then Jesus says, "I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." This love isn't just this encouragement to be nice to people. This love is a sacrificial love. It is a giving of yourself to others. And it's not just this nice feeling that we have for someone else. Often in weddings, what's dubbed as the love chapter gets read in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful." Notice none of those have anything to do with good feelings. They're all about how I treat someone else. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then usually in a wedding, we jump over a few verses and we say, "Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." This is the love that you and I are called to. And this love is not just for your spouse. This love is not just for your family. It's not even just for the people that you like. Remember, Jesus was speaking about this love immediately after washing Judas's feet. This love is even meant for our enemies, those who have hurt us deeply. And so at Trinity, we love others because Jesus has first loved us. If we were to put our need for love in others, right, we need a lot more love than from Jesus than others need from us. But he fills us with his love that it might flow out into us. And so that starts here, right? That starts with loving others around us here in this space. That's what I love with Table for Eight, when we get to gather together, and we'll have the potluck tonight, but then we'll get together with different people who go to different worship services that we might never see. And we get to learn that, oh, I actually do get along with them. I like them. They go to a different service, but they're not weird. It's crazy, right? And we get to love other people here in this place. And then that love flows out of the church and it flows into our early childhood center where we get to love and care for those who are just learning how to talk and walk, and yet they get to hear Jesus every day. And then that love flows into our school where we get to care for those who are learning and growing and going through really important times in their lives and really important changes in their lives. And they get to hear that even as who they are changes, their identity in Jesus remains the same. But that love doesn't stop at the early childhood center or the school. That love then flows out of all of those places. And it flows out into our community. And it flows out into the world. So at Trinity, we're called to love others because Jesus first loved us. And then, out of that love, we're called to forgive freely as Jesus forgives. Paul, when he's writing to the church in Ephesus, he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. At Trinity, we are called to forgive freely as Jesus forgives us. I need the forgiveness of Jesus daily. Actually, more than daily, right? I need the forgiveness of Jesus often. And then as Jesus forgives me, that like love, that flows out of me, or at least should flow out of me, to forgive others, to forgive in my marriage, to forgive in my family, to forgive in my friendships, to forgive in this congregation. The forgiveness is not optional. But it is a rhythm of God's people. We pray it together often, and when we do, a little bit later, I won't have time to introduce this, but I encourage you as we pray the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're going to just slow down on that part in the Lord's Prayer a little bit later today. Right? We get to forgive others because we have been forgiven. And like love, this isn't just meant for the people that we like. Forgiveness is for those who have hurt us deeply. And we might wonder, but how? Well, when we have confirmation that I've invited you to, right, as adults, because we're teaching parents, and we get to talk through what forgiveness is in confirmation, and so I can't spend as much time here as I want to, but encourage you to join us throughout that time. But forgiveness is not forgetfulness. Sometimes we think, well, we're called to forgive and forget. That is not biblical, right? Forgiveness is saying, Jesus, like we're going to say in the creed, that you are the one who gets to judge the living and the dead, not me. And so I'm going to let you be the judge of this person who's hurt me. And so we forgive. And we say, I forgive you. And then probably nothing changes in your heart as you say the words. Because you're not in charge of changing your heart. The Spirit is. And so we say, I forgive you, and then we say, God, you told me to forgive, and so I've said I forgive you, now I need you to change my heart. And we pray that prayer over and over and over again, and someday, after praying that prayer over and over and over again, someday it's not the first thing that you think of when you wake up, that person has hurt you. Maybe it takes 15 minutes to remember that. And so you continue to pray it over and over and over again, and then someday you see that person and there isn't this clench in your gut. And you continue to pray over and over and over again, Jesus, change my heart. And he does. It doesn't happen tomorrow. But he works in us to create in us a clean heart as we continue to turn back to him and ask him to work in us. But again, we can spend more time on that in Bible class or in confirmation that I'd love you to be a part of. But at Trinity, we forgive others freely as Jesus forgives us, and then out of that love, out of that identity, out of that forgiveness, then we are called to serve others with joy. Right? For you are called to freedom. Right? You were given freedom as Jesus died and rose again from you. You were set free. But Paul says, don't use that freedom as an opportunity to do whatever you want. But instead, use your freedom to serve and love one another. And so at Trinity, we serve others with joy. Service is not meant to be the worst thing in the world. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I did this thing and I thought I was serving them, but I had fun. And so I couldn't have really been serving, right? Well, no. We're called to serve in the ways that God has created us, in the joys and the passions that God has given us. That's why he's given you those passions, to be able to use those to serve others. So, the elders for the last year especially have been asking questions and getting questions, and so we've been talking about acolytes. Now, about 6 years ago, we changed the way that we did confirmation, and we brought parents back into the confirmation process, and we've been teaching and training them as we've been teaching and training the students to then come back together and live out God's will in their lives. But one of the things is, especially if you grew up in a Lutheran church and were confirmed, you probably had the acolyte, no matter what you thought about it. I'm a little jaded in some of this, and I'll tell you why, but about 8 years ago, a month before I came here to Trinity, at my last congregation, my acolyte that I knew hated being in front of people. It's the worst thing he could possibly do was be in front of people. He showed up for the 8 a.m. service, he went up, he lit the candles, and I saw him going like this every once in a while. And he passed out and fell face forward and knocked out 2 teeth. It's a great way to leave as the youth pastor and be like, all right, well, see you later. What we taught him there is that to serve God is to hate it and to be afraid of it. Now, there are some people who love acolyting, right? And they get to acolyte. But at confirmation, we've also added other ways that people can serve and worship. And so if you look back in the tech booth right now, other than the big guy that's by the sound booth, we've got three confirmation students serving you in worship today. And at 8 o'clock, we had 2 former confirmands who were serving in worship at tech booth that learned it in confirmation. And at 6 o'clock last night, we had a confirmand who was confirmed a few years ago, who learned that he enjoyed the tech booth while he was in confirmation. We've got our ushers, right? Braxton's out there. Yeah, Kevin, you didn't do it while you were in confirmation, but Braxton's out there. Zane's often out there. They got to start ushering for the most part in confirmation, and they learned that they loved it. And they continue to do it. What passions has God given you? Are you passionate about hospitality? Are you passionate about making people feel welcome? That's a gift that God has given you. How can you use that to serve other people? Maybe that's at the Welcome Center or a greeter, or maybe it's cleaning up coffee after worship. Because, you know, that's part of being hospitable, is cleaning up afterwards. Or has God created you this ability to lead others? Maybe it's in your business, or maybe it's just you're just a natural born leader. Well, come talk to me, because we're getting ready to vote for or bring forward our next slate of candidates for leadership board and our councils. We need leaders that God has created to be leaders. He has given each one of you multiple passions and multiple joys in life. How could you use that to serve others? And there's ways that you could do that here in this place, but we can't just keep it here. How could you use that to serve those in your community, especially those who are in needs or those who don't yet know Jesus? As God's people who have been given joys and passions, you get to use those joys and passions that God has given you to reflect His light into their lives. And at Trinity, we have room to grow. We have room to grow as we learn. We have room to grow as we love. We have room to grow as we lead. This isn't where we are, but this is where God is leading us. And again, not just the staff, but all of God's people together are called to learn, love, and lead. And as we love, we're called to love others because Jesus first loved us, to forgive freely as Jesus forgives us, and to serve others with joy. Together, we reflect the light of Jesus so that all people may know His love. All right, I'm going to ask you a question in just a second. It's a very short question. It's a very simple question, but I do want you to answer, right? So I'm just preparing you. I want you to answer this next question that I'm going to ask, okay? That was a question. Yeah, thanks for answering that one. Are you ready to love others this week?
Yes.
Yes. Right? At Trinity, we're called to learn, love, and lead, to reflect the light of Jesus so that all people may know His love for them. And so at Trinity, we go this week and we love. Amen? Amen. Amen.